Announcements for this week or any upcoming dates. Sunday school every Sunday at 9 a.m. Tithes and offering. Benevolent may be put in the box as you enter the sanctuary before service and or as you exit the sanctuary after service. We will not have midweek Bible study Wednesdays, September 10th, 2025. UMBC Midwest Bible Study will resume on Wednesday, September 17th, 2025. September 13th, Saturday, Men's Christian Growth Fellowship at 10:15 a.m. to 11:15 a.m. September 14th, Ushers and Nurses Ministry Annual Day Observed. Pastor Appreciation Celebration at Mount Pisgah. Union Missionary Baptist Church is the invited guest for Pastoral Appreciation Celebration for Pastor Dr. Timothy Mark Harris. Pastor Williams will be the guest speaker. The service will be Sunday, September 21st, 2025 at Mount Pisgah Baptist Church, 801 West Market Street, Bloomington, Illinois at 3 p.m. September 27th, the men's ministry will be hosting a breakfast chat at 9 a.m. at Denny's. The address is 701 El Dorado Road in Bloomington. Reserve your seat by September 20th, 2025. If you have any questions, please contact Eric Collins. Thank you. Coming up events, Pastor Appreciation Celebration at Olivet. Union Missionary Baptist Church is the invited guest for the Pastoral Appreciation Celebration of Pastor Damon Colvin. Pastor Williams will be the guest speaker. The service will be Sunday, October 5th, 2025 at Olivet Baptist Church. The address is 1115 21st Avenue, Rock Island, Illinois, at 3 p.m. Those who are riding the charter bus, please sign up in the church office. The UMBC Care Ministry. The purpose of the UMBC Care Ministry of our church is to strengthen relationships within our congregation by providing spiritual support, emotional support, encouragement, and supportive presence as needed by our congregation. To assist this ministry at all regular scheduled ministry meetings, Pastor UD Williams is requesting that all ministries please take record of those in attendance. All ministries are encouraged to please work with the deacon ministry and or pastor in capturing and processing the attendance information for the care of our congregation. Thank you in advance for your cooperation. And now, the birthdays for the month of September. We would like to say happy birthday to the following who are celebrating a birthday in the month of September. Stephanie Allison, Jesse Anthony, Michael Charlie, Jane Franklin, David Lewis, Michael McFarlane, Ophelia Schaffner, Clara Williamson. May God continue to bless each of you always. And now we have an extra announcement.
Good morning. Just want to give again, once for those of you that may not have been there last Sunday, a little more detail on the trip to Rock Island on the 5th of October. As you heard in the announcements, we are the guests of them for their pastor's anniversary celebration. We have secured a bus. The bus will be leaving the church at 11:30. So please bring what you need to service on that morning so you don't have to try to leave and go home or McDonald's or any of that type of stuff, because if you get back, the bus may not be here. So the bus is leaving at 11:30, amen? I don't think I mentioned last Sunday, but they will be feeding us upon our arrival. So they will be feeding us upon our arrival. Plan to be back probably around 7:30, maybe 8-ish. So if you have not signed up, if you'd like to go, please see our secretary, Sister Mamie. Between now and then, if you have signed up, if something happens, you're unable to go, please let us know, because we want to make sure we have an accurate head count of who's going to be riding in the bus with us. If you have any other further questions about the bus, you can see myself. And then again, if you want to sign up, see our secretary, Sister Mamie. Thank you. Now turn us in the hand of the pastor. Pull bit.
The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul unto vanity nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Good morning, Union. It is so great to see you on this morning as we come to worship our King of Glory. I don't know what you've been through this week, but ain't it good to see that we can come together again and worship our Lord? Because even though he sits high, he sure enough looks low, and he knows what's going on with us. So let us worship him with the fullness of our hearts today. Again, I welcome you, for this is the day that the Lord has made, and we're going to rejoice and be glad in it. We welcome those who may be joining us from the parking lot ministry, and we just want a spirit of praise to work in this place today. Amen. If you would, stand to your feet with me. We're going to start with our opening reading for the day. And we're going to start with our... That's good. We're going to start with our scripture reading. It's from Matthew 22nd chapter, beginning at the 37th verse. Words are on the screen. It says, Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Just a reminder, Union, you got to love God and love others. Amen. Now we're going to go into our Lord's Prayer. Let us read together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. And we're going to turn it over to our praise team now, who's going to lead us in worship. Amen. Thank you. It's that moment of quietness where everybody feels pressured to say something because ain't nobody saying nothing. But thanks be to God that in the moments of pause, we can enjoy His presence. And sometimes we just need to be still and know that He is God. Sometimes we just need to enjoy the fact that even though we ain't saying nothing, He's right here with us. Oh, praise God. It's prayer time, saints. It's prayer time. For those who are able, I ask that you stand with me as we petition the throne of mercy, as we talk to our God. Bow with me as we look to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we come before you on this morning, oh, so grateful, Lord God, for your goodness, Father God, we thank you for your faithfulness, Lord God. We thank you for your love, Lord. We thank you for the countless ways in which you touched us each and every day throughout this past week, Lord God. Even from our earliest existence, Lord God, your thoughts towards us are not even able to be numbered. And for that, God, we thank you. We thank you because you loved us more than we could ever love ourselves, Lord God. Even so much so that you allowed us to make it here one more morning, that we might praise you together, that we might lift up your holy name, Lord God. We thank you for your grace, Lord. Father God, we come before you this morning praying that you would just look upon each and every one of us, Lord God. For you said, you declared that you know the very hairs on our head. But dear Lord, even more so, you know the deepest thoughts of our hearts, Lord God. And Father God, that's what we bring to you on this morning, Lord God. Touch us in a mighty way, Lord God. We pray that you might help us to know your presence even more, Lord God. We pray that you might allow us to hear your voice, dear Lord, in those situations that we're dealing with in our lives, Lord God. Father God, we pray for every family that's represented in this place on this morning, Lord God. Father God, you know what goes on in those walls, Lord God, both in our homes and with our extended families, Lord God. We pray that you would heal relationships on today, Lord God. We pray that you would bless those marriages as fathers and mothers who are working together to raise godly children in this dark, dark world, Lord God. We pray that you would give us strength and encouragement, Lord God, that we might be faithful to the call, dear Lord, and that we might hold on to your unchanging hand, Lord God, as the people of God in this world. Father God, we pray for your blessing on the church today, Lord God. But we've been called, dear Lord, to be a moral compass for this world, Lord God. But first and foremost, we've been called to shine the light of Jesus, Lord God, that darkness may not prevail. Lord God, we pray that you would strengthen us, Lord God, as men and women that you've called, dear Father, to this ministry, that you will be with us, Lord God. Please give us strength and courage, dear Lord, to speak the truth in love. Please give us the strength to deal with those things in our hearts where we might have been dealing with our brothers and sisters in a way that is wrong. Correct us, Lord God, in the way that you know how, and make us whole before you again, Lord God. Forgive us of our many sins that we committed, dear Lord, against you and also against others, Lord God. And we pray that you would cleanse us, born by the mighty and powerful blood of Jesus Christ. Father, we pray for your blessing on our pastor on today, Lord God. Please continue to bless him with the power of your anointing, Lord God, that he might be filled, dear Father, with your goodness as he seeks to lead us, Lord God, that we might follow him as he follows you, oh Father. Oh, Father God, that there are many congregations meeting on this morning. We pray that your power would move, dear Father, throughout this nation, dear Father, throughout this city, throughout this community, Lord God. Father God, that there may be an uprising of righteousness in this place, Lord God, that we might come to know you, Lord God. Oh, Father God, thank you for those of us, dear Lord, that you are calling to go into the world, Lord God, in ministry. Let us realize that it's not about us, Lord. It is about you, Lord God. And dear Father, as long as we are walking for you, Lord God, there's nothing we can do to break it, Lord God. So please be with us, Lord God, and guide us by your mighty hand, Father God. Father, there are many prayers, dear Lord, in this place that have not been said, Lord God, but you hear the voices of our hearts right now. I pray once again, Lord God, that you would touch in a mighty way, Lord God. And I pray, dear Father, if you will, let those know that they've been touched when they leave this place, Lord God. Help them to have a tangible recognition that they've met with the God who loves their soul, Lord God. That is my prayer, Father God, that you would touch us in that mighty way, that we might know you more. Father God, we thank you and we praise you. It's in the mighty name of Christ Jesus that we pray. Let every heart say together, amen, amen. You may be seated. We'll hand it over to our pastor, Dr. U.D. Williams. Thank you.
If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. If you're happy and you know it. Clap your hands. Amen. We thank God for this opportunity to come today. For truly this is the day that the Lord has made. I shall rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. I shall rejoice and be glad in today. Amen. 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 We want to say thank you to all of you who are here today. We say thank you to our guests. We say thank you for those who are here in our parking lot, those who are listening in to our service. We are glad for those whose face is in the place. Amen. Amen. We are grateful to each and every one of you. We want to say thank you for our growth groups. Yesterday we had our orientation one for our women. Amen. And already we're going to have to move to the sanctuary. Amen. So many women showed up on yesterday. It's not about the numbers, but they did show up and show out on yesterday. Amen. Amen. And I know, and many of them know that that was just a remnant. Amen. We had those who was old enough to walk. They was walking in various things. Amen. Amen. Young enough to walk and stuff, they were walking. So we going to move to the sanctuary next time. Amen. 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 If I wouldn't go, those who are interested in that option, it's an option that all you do is attend. Amen. You just attend and your faith is nurtured. You come out on first Saturdays. That's for the women. First Saturdays at 10:15. Come in October, and then we will start the full sessions in January. First Saturdays in January, 10:15. But next month, October. Next month is October, right? October, first Saturday for the women at 10:15. The men, male growth group will be this coming Saturday, second Saturday, September 13th at 10:15 a.m. Amen. Amen. We thank God for everybody participating in our spiritual growth ministries. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles, if you have your Bibles, 2 Chronicles chapter 30, 2 Chronicles chapter 30. If you have your Bibles, 2 Chronicles. Second Chronicles.
Jesus, you
Second
are
Chronicles chapter 30.
The center of my joy, Jesus.
Oh, you are,
you are
the center.
The center of my joy, Jesus.
Second Chronicles, Second Chronicles, Old Testament, chapter 30, verse 1 through 9. King James Version is what I shall be reading from. If yours sounds a little bit different, that may be the reason why. King James Version, Second Chronicles, chapter 30, verse 1 through 9. Amen. Amen. Reads as follows, King James Version. And Hezekiah sent to all Israel and Judah, and wrote letters also to Ephraim and to Manasseh, that they should come to the house of the Lord at Jerusalem to keep the Passover to the Lord God of Israel. For the king had taken counsel and his princes and all the congregation of Jerusalem to keep the Passover in the second month. For they could not keep it at that time because the priest had not sanctified themselves sufficiently. Neither had the people gathered themselves together to Jerusalem. And the thing pleased the king and all the congregation. So they established a decree to make proclamation throughout all Israel and Beersheba, even to Dan, that they should come to keep the Passover to the Lord God of Israel at Jerusalem. For they had not done it of a long time in such sort as it was written. So the post went with the letters from the king and his princes throughout all Israel and Judah, and according to the commandment of the king, saying, "Ye children of Israel, turn again unto the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, and he will return to you the remnant of you that are escaped out of the hand of the kings of Assyria. And be not ye like your fathers and like your brethren which trespass against the Lord God of their fathers, who therefore gave them up to desolation, as ye see. Now be not stiff-necked as your fathers were, but yield yourselves unto the Lord and enter his sanctuary, which he sanctified forever, and serve the Lord your God, that the fierceness of his wrath may turn away from you." And this is the key verse, verse 9, which I will be sharing with you. Key verse, 2 Chronicles 30, verse 9. "For if you turn again unto the Lord, your brethren and your children shall find compassion or mercy before them that lead them captive, so that they shall come again into this land. For the Lord your God is gracious and merciful, and will not turn away his face from you if ye return unto him." Amen. Before you are seated today, I want to share with you the journey to mercy and restoration. The journey to mercy and restoration. You may be seated in the presence of our God. Amen. I want to invite you as we share this passage of scripture on today, 2 Chronicles verse 9 of chapter 30. 2 Chronicles chapter 30 verse 9, key verse, as we really squeeze this verse and look at this verse. And if you will please look at this passage of scripture, because this is our passage of scripture for the week. I started off and then it will be ended there next Sunday during Sunday school. Amen. Amen. So look at this passage. Read this passage. This is our curriculum. And we know that God will be able to talk to you. I know we're busy. So we will focus in on these passages as the Lord leads. Amen. Amen. 2 Chronicles chapter 30. If you look at that verses 1 through 9 there and do your readings that are sent out in the email, if you need it, let me know. We'll make sure and you'll be able to focus in on one passage of scripture a week. Amen. 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 On today, I want to share with you the journey to mercy and restoration. And the word mercy, as we look at God's mercy is his kindness and his forgiveness and his compassion. But to put it simply is when we're talking about mercy, that means that God is removing the penalty. That means there should be some consequences. You should get a whooping. You should be in time out. You should be in jail. Whatever the consequence for the offense is, you should have it. But God has provided kindness, compassion, forgiveness. He's not giving you the penalty for what you deserve. And if you just look at your life, I know if you just be honest with yourself, is that you need all of the mercy from God that you can give. Yeah. Look at your life and say, "God, I need your mercy." Yeah, some of the stuff that go through my mind, some of the stuff you say, amen, some of the places you go and do, don't tell nobody. God already knows. I'm just saying it's good for us to admit that we need the mercy. We need the kindness. We need the compassion of God. Well, if you're not going to admit it, I'm just not right. I've got blemishes. I have shortcomings. Is there anybody like me that's willing to testify? You're just not right. You're crooked. You got blemishes. But thank God for the blood of Jesus and God's mercy, his compassion, his kindness, that even though you should be dead, sleeping in your grave, mercy. Come on, grace. Grace and mercy. God's grace, God's mercy, saw fit to look over you and see fit that you're still here today. One day there was a man walking, and this is the next thing of restoration in this text. There's mercy and restoration. And one day a man was walking through a flea market and came across a old, dusty, beat up violin. And it was scarred, it was scratched up, needed a whole lot of work. It was even missing strings. And the seller asked only a few dollars for it, because to the seller it was just a piece of junk, might as well get something for it. And assuming it was beyond use, the seller sold it. But something about that violin caught the man's eye, and he bought it. He took the violin home and brought it to a master violin restorer. And the restorer looked at that violin and carefully examined it and looked at the person who bought it and said, "You just don't know what you got in your hands. Just a little paint, little varnish, put some strings on this, and you got a master, top of the line violin." It was not just an old violin. It was a rare instrument crafted by a master violinist long ago. That violin was worth something. It just had been neglected. And over time, the neglection of this instrument allowed it to be, I'm about to preach this thing, scarred and scratched and missing some strings. After all, we know in order to play a violin, it needs to have some strings. But if there's no one playing the violin, who gonna put the strings on the violin? But somebody saw something in that violin to go ahead and take that violin to a master restorer. And the master restorer knew what to do with that violin and put some varnish on it and fix them scratches and put some strings on it. And not only put the strings on, but tune that violin and got it ready to play. Brothers and sisters, I'm looking at this text, and in our text, Hezekiah saw that Israel was worth something. And even though Israel had some scratches, and even though they had some scars, and even though they was missing some strings, and they weren't worshiping God like they ought to be worshiping God, and his dad worshiped idol gods and wasn't giving God his worth, Hezekiah saw something in Israel that if we would just fix our scratches, if we would just put some strings on our violin, if we would just put ourselves back together again, then God, the master restorer, would come and step in and take away the consequences. In other words, if we do what we're supposed to do, if we do a restart, in Hezekiah's mind is that God will restore us to back to where we need to be. Brothers and sisters, I don't care who you are, everybody needs a restart. Everybody needs a reboot. We don't always get it together, but I'm not trying to get in your business, but I know you got some scars. I know you got some scratches. I know you're missing some strings. But if you put your hand in God's hand, he is the master restorer. He has mercy and he has restoration. Mercy means he has compassion over your situation. Somebody has some bumps and some bruises. Somebody's in some ditches right now as I preach. But God can reach out his hand and snatch you out that ditch. Why? Because he's a God of mercy. And he's a God of restoration. We can learn a lot from this text today. We can learn a lot from Hezekiah. He saw something in Israel. He saw something in himself. And in fact, his agenda was to get in right relationship with God. And in order to do that, he had to put Israel and Judah back together again. And before I get into this text, I want to let you know, if you want the mercy of God, the compassion and the kindness of God in your life, and you want to be restored in right relationship with God and nurture your relationship with God, you need to put your life in alignment to the desires of God. If your life is not aligned to how God wants your life to be, then you are going to neglect your relationship with God, and you're going to have scars and scratches, and you're going to be missing some strengths. But if you want to be right with God, you have to align yourself with what God would have you to do. In 2 Chronicles chapter 30, verse 9, it's set during the reign of King Hezekiah here in this text of Judah. And in this time, in this period, it follows a time of religious decline where God was not number one. Idolatry was all throughout the land, meaning serving statues and serving other things and going through different rituals that did not honor God. In fact, God demanded from his people, don't put any other gods before me. And if you read the report in 2 Chronicles, the kings who honored God and did not worship other gods, they did right in God's eyes. But those who practiced idolatry, evil kings they were. Got to look at that today. That we can't part-time God. We can't have a God on the side. I'm trying to talk to somebody. You can't have a main God and a side piece God. You can't have, if I was on the streets, I'd say something else, but you know what I'm saying. You can't have a midnight call God. Amen. Amen. If you with God, you got to be all in with God. You got to be committed with God. You have to put up with his discipline. You have to put up with his commandments. You have to not just get his love and his protection, but you have to do what he say do. In this text, the specific context of this verse, and Hezekiah calls for the nation to get it back together again by calling a Passover in Jerusalem. Not only for the people of Judah, but Hezekiah was bold enough and said, hey, Israel, all 10 of y'all, the other, y'all can come and be a part of this too. It's because the Syrians have come and ransacked your land, taking some of your people away, and those who are left, you can get some of this restoration too. Just come to the temple and worship your God the way you're supposed to worship your God. Everybody was invited. Not just one city, not just one area, but everybody was invited for this mercy and restoration party. This was shortly after the northern kingdom had been conquered by the nation of Assyria. Reason why that's important, because many of the Israelites had been taken into exile. They had been taken as prisoners. And despite of all of this, Hezekiah offered them an olive branch. He offered them a word that would help them with the mercy that they wanted and desired and the restoration that they needed. He sent them letters throughout both Judah and the fallen northern kingdom. He took time and he encouraged through this letter the survivors to return to the Lord and join in worship of God in Jerusalem. Now, before I keep on going, is I want to say this. Do you have anything to praise God for? Don't fool me now. Is God worthy of your praise? You just can't help yourself. Every now and then, just thank you. Yeah, somebody think you crazy and you going down the street driving in the street and you just need to say thank you, because he's been just that good. Look at yourself and look how good you look. You got your shoes matching your belt. Come on now. You ought to say thank you. Just got your hair done yesterday and it's still intact. Say thank you. He's worthy to be praised. And in spite of you, God has looked beyond your faults and he's blessed you anyhow. And as I look at this, and we look at this text for this week, and we study Hezekiah and how he responded to his season to lead. He said, I'm not going to be like my daddy. I'm going to put God first. And the first thing I'm going to do is get the temple and the way we worship back together again. And this emphasizes God's mercy and his compassion. Because if there's somebody here, you know you done messed up. You know you messing up right now. I got the God for you. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He will fix you up even though you got some scars. He will fix you up even though you're missing some strings. Even though you got some scratches, no matter what you've been through, we have a God who is a God of mercy and restoration. What I like about my God, is he your God too? What I like about our God then is that when you mess up and you say, God, I done messed up, he's a forgiving God. That's what I like about him. That when I know I ain't right, as a matter of fact, I know I'm crooked and say, God, I'm messed up. I'm crooked. I don't go to him with no excuses. Well, I kind of messed up. No, Lord, I'm a sinner. Lord, I'm broken. Fix me. And I'm so glad the hand of God, he'll pick me up and put my feet back on solid ground. He will not turn his face away from us. He's always there. This text, 2 Chronicles chapter 30, verse 9, it reflects and brings a lesson to each and every one of us of repentance. And when we repent and we say we're sorry, it leads to something. Restoration means restored. And I am bold enough to say it doesn't matter who you are, does not matter how long you've been with the Lord, because in fact, Israel had been with the Lord since the beginning of time. He already had them in hand. But this particular group knew back to Egypt. He delivered them out of Egypt. They've been with the Lord for hundreds of years. And they still needed to be restored. And you know what? God was willing to restore them. So why did Hezekiah restore the temple? Hezekiah came and he put this verse 1 through 9 here on the instructions of what we're going to do and how we're going to go about restoring this temple. And there's a reason why he did this, is he restored the temple because he wanted to return the people of Judah to the worship of the one and only true God. After a period where everybody didn't worship God, Hezekiah realized that Israel was still good. Not just his Israel folk, but all God's people was worthy. All they had to do was turn away from idolatry and turn to the one only true living God and not neglect themselves. But after a period of time of people worshiping other gods, the temple, the place of worship under his father Ahaz, had been neglected. And Hezekiah saw the temple's decline as a source of God's anger and wanted to restore proper worship and the covenant relationship with God. By cleansing and reopening the temple, this passage of scripture, reinstating the priests and the Levites in this passage of scripture, and reestablishing the sacrifices in this passage of scripture, Hezekiah aimed to purify the nation from their spiritual decline and allow them to be in the right relationship with God, a worshiping nation, a honoring nation, giving them back so they could get the mercy and restoration of God. And what it meant was, is that Israel had to get back to the fundamentals. Had to get back to the fundamentals, church. We got to get back to the fundamental. Sometimes we just say it don't need all that. But yes, it do need all that. Because if we neglect the things that God has placed in his word, then we start being like that old beat up violin. Because when we keep God's word keeps us. When we keep God's word, the author and finisher of our faith, God, the Holy Spirit who anointed the word, has right relationship with us and is working and talking to us, so we're never neglected. But when we go by ourselves and start worshiping our jobs, worshiping our children, getting wrapped up in our life, getting so busy that we don't really stay connected with the Lord, then look at your spiritual life. It starts to be neglected, and you get scratches, and you get scars, and you get worry, you get depression, you have broken relationships. Come on, talk to me some. By that. And you start neglecting your spiritual relationship with God. Well, what's the answer, preacher? You need to get back to the fundamentals of your faith. God's deliverance out of Exodus was part of this Passover. Exodus chapter 12, in fact, 3 through 14. If you look at that, that's the original Passover. And it was a memorial to be honored by the Israelites just for one simple reason. Celebrating that God had delivered. Can you just imagine one day just celebrating that God had delivered? In Exodus chapter 12, Passover was put on the calendar forever. So they remember how God took their ancestors out of Egypt and delivered them to the promised land. Ain't that a praise party right there? Just celebrating the deliverance of God. Well, I know you're ready to go home already, but I got to stop here and have a little praise party here. Is I ain't been to Egypt, and I'm on my way to the promised land, but I can look back and look how God has delivered. Is there any cancer survivors up in here? Look back how God has delivered. Is there somebody that dealt with some health problems and you are delivered? You ought to say thank you, for he delivered. Has God kept you in the midst of your mess? It's time to go to the fundamentals and say thank you. I worship you. This is the day that the Lord has made. Shall rejoice and be glad. When I think about the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. I thank Jesus for saving me. Hey! Hey, 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 hey! All I'm saying is that the Passover is Old Testament, but the principle is still the same. You need to look at the times where God has delivered you and celebrate what God has done in your life. Hey! Can I remind you of scripture? Look here. God told Israel, he said, I need you to take a lamb, sacrifice it, and over your doorpost, I need you to spread the blood. And what's going to happen is, as the death angel, I'm about to shout already, is that as the death angel passes over your house, we'll see the blood and pass you by. That's why it's called Passover. That when a death angel sees the blood, it will pass over the house. That's why we don't have a lamb or goat, but we have Jesus, who is the lamb. That they hung him on the cross. They stretched him wide. They pierced him in his side. For me he died. For you he died. And his blood was shed. And one glad getting the morning, when this life is over, those who have faith in Jesus
God will look over their life and see the blood of Jesus and pass over. They will have mercy. They will have restoration. Hey!
Somebody ought to say, thank you for your mercy, God. Thank you for your restoration, God. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Now look at this. Hezekiah, he celebrated and remembered God's deliverance. He brought in repentance so then God could do a transformation. And when God is honored by his believers, they practice the fundamental faith. I'm almost through, y'all. But I need y'all to look. Y'all got your Bibles open? You got your Bible open? Can you look at Acts 2, please? Look at Acts 2. Look at Acts 2. We New Testament church, so we need to look at the New Testament teachings on this. Acts chapter 2, if you look at there. Acts chapter 2. Verse 41 there. This is the fundamentals of the New Testament church. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Look what the New Testament church was doing. Is in verse 41 of Acts chapter 2, this King James Version, it says, then they gladly received his word and were baptized. So those who were converted. And the same day there added unto them about 3,000 souls. And watch what it says in verse 42. After they were saved, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, meaning they were being taught. They were fellowshipping. They were connecting with each other. And they were breaking bread. They was eating, y'all. And they was praying together. Somebody is missing this. Is that when they were brought into the fold, they were under the apostles' teaching, the teaching about Jesus Christ. Y'all see that? Y'all still got your Bible open? Verse 42. And then you look at it, that then they was in fellowship. That means they was in with each other, connected to each other. Now, I know we have social media and all that, and that's fine. I'm not going to condemn anybody for that. If that works for you, that works for you. But for me in the Bible, I'm going to go back to what the Bible say. And the Bible didn't have internet. This fellowship is in-person fellowship. Help me, somebody. Okay, before y'all throw an orange on me, I'm going on. And you look at this. In the breaking of bread, they were fellowshipping each other with having a meal together. And they were praying together. And brothers and sisters, I'm just trying to help somebody. If you want the mercy of God, if you want the restoration of God, you need to make sure that you're under the teaching of God. You need to be wrestling and working and engaging God's word on a daily basis. 119:105, a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The word of God has to be fundamental in your life. And you have to be around other believers. Now, I'm with you. It don't say be around church folk. But it say be around other believers. Converted folk. Breaking the bread, having a meal, and praying together. Honestly, praying together. Now, I got to go. But I do want to remind you, and you can look this up. My Bible said, the prayers of the righteous. Y'all give me a few more times. I'm picking for who I ask. That's just me. I'm picking on who I ask to pray for me. Because the Bible says, the prayer of the righteous availeth much. It don't say the prayer of the scandalous, the prayer of the backstabbers, the prayer of the lukewarm. Yeah, God can answer anybody's prayer. But I'm going to look at that scripture and I'm going to follow it. The prayers of the righteous availeth much. So make sure that when you're praying with folk, they live in right and have a right relationship with God. Say, well, you know you're right, Reverend. You know you're right. I'm right because the Bible says, it says that the early church was in there. So as we look at this, is that there's one point I'm going to make and then I'm leaving you alone. is if you look back at our key verse today, NIV says, 2 Chronicles 30:9, it says, if you return to the Lord, then your fellow Israelites and your children will be shown compassion or mercy by their captors and will come back to this land. For the Lord your God, who is God? He's gracious and he's compassionate, and he will not turn his face from you if you return to him. So today, I just want to make one point. Can y'all make it, please? Returning to God brings relief. Returning to God will release the pressure that you're dealing with. This verse promises compassion and return if God's people just turn to God. Ain't that something? If you just turn to God, he will release the pressure. Yeah. I made a mistake one time. I remember that beating was so bad. That's when Kmart was open. And my mama, it was a blue light special over there on Clear Lake in Springfield. And I was acting up. I can tell you how old I was, 9 years old. And I was cutting a fool up in there. And Kmart, blue light was going on. And she said, I'm going to catch you when you get home. And she caught me when I got home. And then I got beside myself and I thought I knew how to move with it, and I moved with it. When she went, I moved with it. And then I don't know what demon got a hold of me. I looked at her and said, is that all you got? My mama ran back and gave me a whooping of a lifetime. And sometimes y'all act like me, stiff neck, stubborn, and you're going to live however you want to live, do whatever you want to do, and God is whooping you, and you living like you saying to him, is that all you got? But when you come to yourself, when you come to your right mind, God is able to heal you. God is able to forgive you. He's able to restore. Because this verse is a verse of grace and urging the people of God to return in assurance of God, who has the compassion and the relief that we all need. In these days, I'm through. But in this society, I hear people complaining about who's president and who's this and who's that. Complaining about the price of eggs and shoes and all that kind of stuff. But can I remind you, the God we serve has a son by the name of Jesus, and took two fishes and five loaves of bread and fed over 5,000 folk. So if all I can do is afford one egg, come on, help me somebody. I know that my God knows how to scramble eggs. And all I have to do is get the one egg that I got, crack that shell open, put it on in the skillet, and start the scrambling. And after I scramble the eggs, I start to serve it. And you know what happened? Everybody gets full, and there's still some eggs left over. Help me somebody. If he can take two fishes and five loaves of bread, surely the God you serve can take care of you. Why do I know? Because I've seen him do it. How do I know? Because I've seen him do it. Is because there is one thing you need to look at this verse, is that there's a conditional promise here. And the promise is a promise of mercy. But you will get the mercy if you return. Return to God and you'll get the mercy and the restoration. Why? Because that's God's character. God is a God of mercy. And God is a God of compassion. On today, brothers and sisters, I don't know what you've been through. I don't know what you're going through, but I know who has you, and God has you on today. No matter who you are, no matter what you're going through, God has you. But the first thing, this is the invitation. The first thing that must happen is you need to recognize that you need God. And Hezekiah in the text realizes that he needed God, so he got his nation and his people ready for God. Because God is not going to come and dwell in no mess. God is going to come and dwell in order. So Hezekiah knew he had to get
the house of God back together and the way God wanted worship back together. And if you want to get your life where it needs to be with your God, you need to first realize and acknowledge that you need God. John 15 and 5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from Jesus, you can't do anything. You need Jesus. Not only do you need Jesus, but you need to believe in Jesus. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, should not die, but have everlasting life. So you need to realize you need him, and then you need to believe in Jesus and say, I want everlasting life. And you have to receive him in your heart. And then you have to do what we talked about there. You have to repent, and your repentance leads to restoration. If you acknowledge, I am a sinner, I'm a wretch undone, my life is broken, I need you, Jesus Christ, to come in my life and change me and restore me. Can I tell you something? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of all our unrighteousness. God is faithful, and God is full of mercy and full of compassion. So confess your faith, my brothers and sisters. If you declare with your mouth, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, our Bible says you shall be saved. So is there one, my brother, is there one, my sister, on today? You do not have Jesus as your Lord. You do not have Jesus as your Savior, but you would like Jesus in your life. Is there one on today? All you have to do is raise your hand, come down. If there's one that does not have a church home, but you would like to come here in this place, is there one on today? Is there one, my brother, my sister, you can come down. Is there one? Is there one? Is there another? If you do not have a church home, if you would like to come on down, amen, come on down. Amen. You may take a seat there. Amen. Amen. Our church clerk is coming. Is there one? Is there another? Is there another, my brother? Is there another, my sister? We serve a God of mercy. We serve a God of compassion. Is there another on today? Is there one that wants God's mercy? God's mercy can be found through Jesus Christ. Is there another? Anybody want his compassion, his restoration? Today, is there another? Give your life to Jesus. Connect with this body of believers. Is there another on today? Is there another? Is there another on today? We thank God for his word. Brothers and sisters, we are about to bring into the fellowship our brother and our sister. But I want to also invite you to God's word. I know Sunday school teachers and some have caught what I'm doing. What I'm doing is I'm sharing the key verse of our Sunday school lesson a week early. So then as you study this and you've heard this message, then starting September 17th, I'm also going to do a Bible study on the passage. And then you'll go to Sunday school lesson that following Sunday, and you'll receive that lesson. So then you've had a full week of studying the same passage of Scripture. And by the end of that, like this week, you'll understand God's mercy. You'll understand God's compassion and His restoration. Amen? Amen. And I want to say, you never can exhaust a verse. You never can exhaust the passage. Amen? Amen. And we're studying the Word, and we see what God is doing. We can take time for this. Amen. Let us receive our brother. Let us receive our sister. Amen. 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 Do you all want to stand? Amen. She want to stand. So do you accept Jesus Christ? Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord? I'd like to call my mama. She is. She said, get on up here. Amen. And you know what he did? He got on up there. Amen. 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 So you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. Amen. Amen. So we believe the same, that Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross, that he was put into the grave, and by the power of God, he was resurrected. Amen. Amen. Do you have a testimony, something you would like to share?
Y'all know I'm a talker now. I moved back home about 3 months ago, 90 days, and I was born and raised here. I came back from Texas, been in Texas for 10 years. I was born and raised here, grew up in Loving Missionary Baptist Church, but as you get older, you know, you want different things. So I started coming here, visiting, and I told myself, I said, I'm joining, but I was waiting on my letter from my church in Houston. And my Uncle Eric said, I think they sent your letter. And I said, well, let me go on up there and join church today. So I'm here, and I'm ready to work. I love singing. I love the kids. So, yeah, praise the Lord. I'm back home.
Amen. 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 So some folk know she got some relatives. Raise your hand back there. She got some folks she related to. Amen. Amen. Let's welcome her. Let's give God a hand clap of praise. Amen. Amen. Am I saying this right, Aiden? Aiden, you don't have to say anything, but I do got to ask this question. Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Amen. We accept that. Amen. Do you have anything to say? You said no, sir? All right. To God be the glory. Let's give hand clap for Aiden. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. We will be contacting you for our new members class and things of that nature. Amen. 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 Matter of fact, this is First Sunday, so you can go on back to your seat. Amen. And we're going to go into our Lord's Supper, our communion service. Amen. Amen. Let's give God a hand clap of praise. Can y'all give me a little At the Cross? Amen. Isaac's the leads. Give me a little of that At the Cross. Put that in my ear, please. Amen. Has everyone been served? Has everyone been served? Amen. The deacons come. At the cross? At the cross, at the cross, where I first. Has everyone been served? And the burden of my heart rolled away. Thank you.
service want to be reminded of the words of the Lord we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. It says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, that same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye drink this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he comes. Wherefore, whoever shall eat this bread and drink of this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord." Let us prepare for the Lord's Supper.
Examine your heart, examine your mind. Are you here because you are a believer of Jesus the Christ? You believe his labor, his work on the cross, that he offered himself as atonement for us. He became sin for us. His blood was shed, and he is not dead. Jesus is alive. We do this in remembrance of who Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, is. We do not come because this is a snack. We do not come because this is lunch. We come because this is communion of brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. If you have the wafer, which represents the bread, represents the body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you will please secure that and let us take that together. Amen. In like manner, the fruit of the vine, grape juice, represents the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for the remission of our sin. Let us partake together. Amen. This doing in remembrance of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Those who are able, if we can stand in fellowship. The disciples went to the Mount of Olives. We do not have a Mount of Olives to go to, but we do have our various places and homes. Let us sing together, "At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away," as we leave. Oh, by faith I receive. I am happy. Let's put those hands together in celebration. Oh, where I first, and the burden, oh, no, oh, it was there. Oh, I received my sight. You are dismissed. May God's grace and peace be with you. Amen.